Have you ever gotten the idea that if there is a controversy of any sort or a quarrel of any sort about religion, that it's bad? Is that necessarily so? We're going to be finding out as we study in the book of Acts in chapter 25 that the Apostle Paul, who was perhaps the greatest minister, evangelist, missionary, preacher of the early church, was involved in a prolonged controversy and argument with other people who also claimed to be believers in God. In other words, Paul was right in the middle of a great big argument for years because of his testimony of the gospel. Now, we're going to be studying this in the book of Acts of the Apostles in chapter 25, and today we're going to be reading from verse 13 on, and we're going to find out that this prolonged argument that Paul was involved in with the Jews is continuing here. He has been in prison for over 2 years. First, he had been in prison under Felix, and then he was left there under Festus, Porcius Festus, and then Festus now has remanded him to bring him before King Agrippa. And so we come now in chapter 25, verse 13, and as we read along, I want you to notice just how these things developed. Chapter 25, verse 13. And after certain days, King Agrippa and Bernice, that was Agrippa's wife, came unto Caesarea to salute Festus. That is, they came to visit him. They came to honor him. And when they had been there many days, Festus declared Paul's cause unto the king. He brought in the case of this prisoner, saying, and this is the report, "There is a certain man left in bonds by Felix, about whom, when I was at Jerusalem, the chief priests and the elders of the Jews informed me," that is, they presented an indictment to me about this man, "desiring to have judgment against him." They wanted me to act against him. "To whom I answered, it is not the manner of the Romans to deliver any man to die, before that he which is accused have the accusers face to face, and have license to answer for himself concerning the crime laid against him." A very basic principle in Roman law, that if you're going to accuse a man of anything, he has a right to face the accusers and to give an account of his side of the argument. "Therefore, when they were come hither, without any delay on the morrow, I sat on the judgment seat and commanded the man to be brought forth, against whom, when the accusers stood up, they brought none accusation of such things as I supposed, but had certain questions against him of their own superstition." Now that's the way the word is translated, and that you and I would say their own religion. And what Festus is telling Agrippa is that when they brought this man out, I suppose they'd probably accuse him of being a riot maker, that he was a rebellion leader, a rebel of some sort. I expected something like that, but when they actually came into court, I found that that's not what they accused him of. He didn't cause any disturbance, didn't lead any riot, but he differed with them on their understanding about the religious things and their understanding of the truth of God. And they had certain questions against him of their own superstition and of one Jesus, which was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. That's very interesting, isn't it? That's Paul's reputation as a preacher. If you had asked, what was it about Paul's preaching they objected to? What was the particular thing that he was talking about? This was it, that Jesus was alive. That was the real issue. I don't want to make too much of this, but I just want you to notice, Paul was not preaching some social reform and getting into trouble because of it. He wasn't preaching about the repeal of certain laws and got into trouble because of it. He wasn't put in jail because he refused to pay taxes. He wasn't put in jail because he was agitating to change the government. Now, this is the thing that he was known for. If you were to say, what's Paul preaching? What have they got against that man? What is he saying? this is what he is saying. Jesus is alive. That's the real issue. And this is what was brought out before Festus. And so we read on in verse 20, "And because I doubted of such manner of questions," that is, I didn't feel competent to deal with them, "I asked him whether he would go to Jerusalem and there be judged of these matters," and go up there to the center of their religion and get this thing straightened out. "But when Paul had appealed to be reserved unto the hearing of Augustus," that is the name of the king, the Caesar of the day, and that is to say, Paul wanted to keep the case in the Roman court, "I commanded him to be kept until I might send him to Caesar." The name Caesar is a name like president, and the name Augustus is the name of the family, the name of the man. You'd say like President Roosevelt, or you would say like Prime Minister Macmillan. So you say Caesar Augustus, like you would say King Arthur. And that's the way in which this is brought out. And Paul appealed to be kept in the Roman court and asked for his case to be taken to the Supreme Court, right before the emperor himself. "Then Agrippa said unto Festus, I would also hear the man myself." He got interested. And he said, "I'd like to hear him myself." "Tomorrow," said he, "thou shalt hear him." And on the morrow, when Agrippa was come, and Bernice, that was Agrippa's queen, with great pomp, and was entered into the palace of hearing, with the chief captains and principal men of the city, they made a big show of it, at Festus' commandment, Paul was brought forth. Now, all of this is the description of a regular court proceeding in a Roman court. But I wonder if you notice how they handle Paul. No, nobody asks him what he wants. Nobody asks him what he would like. He's just hauled around from pillar to post. These things are taking place, as I'm inclined to use the language and say, over his dead body, so to speak. He isn't having anything to say about it. And what I learned from that for myself is, that can be our Christian experience. There can be things going on you haven't got a thing in the world to say about. You can be accused of things. You can be forced to stand up in places you don't want to stand in. You can be made to look bad. You can be made to look stubborn. You can be forced into the place where you have to disagree with people. You can't even help it. It just happens to you. They do it to you. In this whole business, you're just helpless. Now I want you to notice something else. Paul's conduct. No outcry. There's no evidence of any fighting on his part. He is submissive. So they want him to go to jail. To jail he goes. They want him to come out. Out he comes. They want him to come into court. Into court he comes. They want him to go back. Go back he does. And just as though they said, stand up, he'll stand up. Sit down, he'll sit down. There's never an evidence that Paul ever resisted any order given to him. You might say to yourself, in some respect about this thing, well, isn't it too bad that the Christian was involved in a controversy, in an argument? It's too bad the argument had to be, but that was unavoidable. You'll say to me, well, he didn't even act like a Christian. Oh, yes, he did. You look at it. There's not a single movement made to defend himself. Not a single place where he takes any objection. But by the way, he stays faithful. Now, if he'd just given in, would have been the end of it. If he just said, all right, you can have your way, would have been the end of it, so far as that quarrel is concerned, but the testimony wouldn't have come out the way in which it did. So he places himself in the place of, this is the place where he has to stand. This is what God wants him to do. So he's in trouble. All right, so he's in trouble. Trouble it is, and that's the way it comes. I hope as I am talking, you'll get some idea for yourself about this thing. Because all the time I'm talking, those of you who are listening to me, you're not world missionaries. You're not people who have gone to the ends of the earth with the gospel. And maybe you're not in Caesar's court. Maybe you're not brought into court at all. Maybe it's no official outward thing. Maybe it's in your family. Maybe it's in your church. Maybe it's in your neighborhood. You stand out for some things that you think are right. Stand out for some things you think are true. You stand out for some things that you think are agreeable to God. People want you to change. They want you to agree for something else. They want you to agree for something less, and you don't, and so they put you in bad. Yet that's your situation, and you'll find out here, as far as Paul is concerned, he stands steadfast by the truth as it is, and when the bad things come, they'll just have to come. He'll take them just as they come. Now I read on from verse 24. And Festus said, King Agrippa, and all men which are here present with us, you see this man, about whom all the multitude of the Jews have dealt with me, both at Jerusalem and also here, crying that he ought not to live any longer. But when I found that he had committed nothing worthy of death, and that he himself had appealed to Caesar, I have determined to send him, of whom I have no certain thing to write unto my Lord. Wherefore I have brought him before you, and specially before thee, O King Agrippa, that after examination had, I might have somewhat to write. For it seemeth to me unreasonable to send a prisoner, and not withal to signify the crimes laid against him. All of this is going on discussing Paul's case, and I expect I'll come back again to point out to you that in all of this thing, the way it is reviewed, the way in which it is discussed, Paul himself is helpless all the way through. Who is he? He's the man that preaches the gospel. What is the particular thing he's preaching? Jesus is alive. Well then, why doesn't he go up to Jerusalem to let them try him there? He knows they're planning actually to get rid of him if he goes. Well then, why doesn't he go? Because he doesn't want to be gotten rid of that way. He is to bear testimony. He is to bear witness. He has been told that he's going to go to Rome. The Lord came to him and told him that as he had gave his witness in Jerusalem, so he was to give his witness in Rome. So there's where he is standing. And that's what is going to happen to him. He's mild. He's gentle. He doesn't fuss. He doesn't fight. But he won't yield. He won't give in. He'll just stand put right exactly where he is. And that's the way the gospel will be served. Our God and Heavenly Father, give us the grace to be faithful. Overrule in our lives those circumstances that put us into difference of opinion with other people. And when situations develop in such a way that we're actually involved in argument and controversy, we pray Thee, Father, to keep us true, keep us faithful, and keep us with a good record, so that we can stand with a clear conscience before the whole world and stand true to that which Thou hast called us. Add Thy blessing to every one of us, that we might be found faithful. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.